Russia dodges a bullet and escapes a blanket ban at the Rio Olympics. And Russian-Turkish rapprochement moves forward with a delegation from Ankara visiting Moscow. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFRL. Joining me in the studio is senior RFRL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. So the big news this weekend is something that didn't happen. The International Olympic Committee decided not to ban the entire Russian Olympic team from the Summer Games in Rio. Now, each individual sports federation will decide whether or not Russian athletes will be allowed to compete. Russian track and field athletes, of course, have already been banned. The World Anti-Doping Agency has expressed disappointment over the decision. But what it means in practice is that we will now get a slow drip of decisions until the Olympics open on August 5th, as every federation decides. My personal take here, I wouldn't paint this as a big victory for Russia just yet, because no matter what happens, the Russian Olympic team is going to be diminished in Rio. They're not going to have the medal haul they're accustomed to having. And so in no way will Russia be able to paint these Olympics as a victory. What are your thoughts, Steve?
So Russia obviously dodged a huge bullet. You know, one thing that struck me is Sports Minister Vitaly Mutko said that Russia is grateful very quickly after the decision was announced. Grateful is not a word I think I've heard from a Russian official speaking on an international level in years. So I think Russia obviously is very relieved at this decision. But as you say, I mean, I think there's you know, it's not that clear cut. I mean, as you say, you know, some of the federations will be banned. They won't have the big presence. Track and field is you know, obviously one of the major
heart and soul of their Olympic team.
And you know, and also a blanket ban would have been very straightforward and given, you know, Putin and the Kremlin kind of fodder to, you know, to really push this, well, this idea that it's kind of a U.S. driven campaign or plot against
right.
Russia to keep Russia out of everything. So this is more. Here, the Russian athletes and Russia are going to be having to kind of you know prove their worth. So it's a little less straightforward. On the other hand, I think you know in a way there might be a parallel with the way Russia tries to kind of divide and conquer or take advantage of splits, because now with federations coming down on either side, you know, Russia's going to be saying kind of a different version of the same argument, but we'll be saying, oh, look, you know, the diving federation is not sovereign. And right. So they're going to, you know, try to use it to kind of say, look, we're good, but obviously somebody's gotten to this federation. So I think it's, you know, I think in general they're very relieved, but as you say, it's kind of a mixed decision.
But what it guarantees is that this story is going to continue right up until the Olympics starts. We're going to have this drip of decisions. I mean, we'll be watching. We know what happened with track and field. I'm wondering what's going to happen with swimming, gymnastics. You know, the other like kind of anchors of the Russian Olympic team. If I'm not mistaken, I understand tennis. They're already good to go for tennis.
Tennis, they're good to go. Others, I'm not sure of, but you know, as you say, yeah, yes, this could produce more allegations of doping. So
yeah.
That's, you know, that's another thing that to look out for.
Yeah, this story is far from over. And then when these Olympics finally happen, again, they're not going to have a big medal haul, not by any stretch of the imagination, despite not being banned. What they escaped was this would have been unprecedented, a blanket ban, and they escaped the shame of that. But the story's not going away. Moving on to another issue, a Turkish delegation is arriving in Moscow this week to discuss trade and energy issues as relations between Ankara and Moscow continue to improve after more than a half a year of tension following the Turkish shootdown of a Russian warplane in November. Putin and Erdogan are due to meet next month, and a lot of the speculation around this rapprochement between Turkey and Russia suggests that it's going to be Russia that has the upper hand and that it's Turkey that's really pushing to improve relations. Do you agree with that, Steve?
Well, I think it's. I don't think it's quite that that straightforward. I mean, I think they both need each other. I mean, obviously, Erdogan. There was a moment when Erdogan, even before the attempted coup, saw that he had to mend fences. You know, he did that with Israel as well, right before right before Russia. But I mean, I think there are ways that Russia needs Turkey as well. I mean, Turkey needs Russian revenue from the tourism, but for Russia, the ability of its people to go to Turkey. To the beach is also important. I mean, I think
it's a safety valve that they
It's a safety valve. They need that to sort of decrease their isolation, and also, I mean, the kind of energy relations between Turkey and Russia are, you know, they're not one sided. Russia needs Turkey. Russia wants Turkey as an outlet for its gas and oil, and also wants. This nuclear plant as a way to develop its nuclear industry abroad. So I think it's not going to be a one sided relationship.
I mean, the way I look at this too is that the underlying geopolitical realities, I think, make any Russia the friendly relations Russia enjoyed with Turkey in recent years prior to the shooting down of the warplane were the exception,
right.
Not the rule. The underlying geopolitics of it is that they are competitors in so many areas, not least of all Syria, where I don't think any rapprochement can ever be too long or too deep. I kind of feel the same way I do about the Sino-Russian relationship as I do with the Russian-Turkish relationship. So we'll have to see where this goes. Putin and Erdogan are going to be meeting next month. The other matter is that these two alpha males, and the impression is now that it's Erdogan that blinked.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know how long his ego is going to allow that perception to be out there.
No,
right?
Exactly. So there's certainly potential for sort of another flare up. And, you know, as you say, I think they called it a strategic partnership that they had for a while, was definitely the exception historically. There's always been tension and rivalry in the relationship and
there's
war.
Issues like Crimean Tatars, for example.
That's not going to go away. I mean, so there's plenty of things.
Their interests diverge in Syria.
In Syria. I think one thing that may influence, you know, how long this rapprochement lasts or how strong it is, you know, Turkey's relations with Europe and the West and, you know, to what degree did those falter? Russia presumably sees this as a chance to kind of get Turkey closer into its camp. You have an authoritarian leader, similar to Putin in that respect. So it's a way to kind of set them apart together and apart from Europe and the U.S. But
Turkey's going to be estranged from the West to a degree in the aftermath of the failed coup and Erdogan's crackdown.
Right, and his crackdown, exactly. But, you know, that's also potentially a short-lived development. So I think, you know, given, as you say, the divisions over Syria, which are obviously very serious, and Crimean Tatars and other issues, and I think there are signs that this kind of rapprochement may not be extremely strong or long-lived.
And we'll be watching pretty closely for the body language and the optics when Putin and Erdogan meet next month. The date of that is yet to be determined, but I know both foreign ministries are at this time working on it. Well, that's all we have time for today, so we'll wrap it up. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast. Joining me in the studio has been senior RFAR editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week, and now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC. We'll be right back.